can turn the world on with a smile. You can take a nothing day and suddenly make it all seem worthwhile. Well, it's your girl and you should know it. Each glance and every little movement you show it.
Love is all around.
Don't need to fake it.
You can never tell.
Why don't you take it? You're gonna make it after all.
Everything's coming up roses for you and for me. Or in my case, it's vegetables. But don't worry, this isn't VeggieTales. This isn't going to be like some Christian overthrow thing. Speaking of VeggieTales and Christian overthrows, I was on Twitter, I guess, on the day that there was a thing called the Super Bowl with Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga did the halftime. And some poor teenage girl posted showed like a little video, the fact that her dad had switched to VeggieTales during the halftime rather than see the sinful Lady Gaga, so which has nothing to do with anything. I am in a really good mood. Last week was a good week for a variety of things. I had to deal with stuff I didn't want to, and so I got to see some personal growth. I got to do some things I wanted to, and I got to see some personal growth. But I'm going to talk about all that probably in a separate episode, so this one isn't super long, because this one is going to be all about yesterday, and not just personal growth, but literal growth, as I spent my first day at a community garden. In fact, my apartment right now still reeks of leeks. It reeks of leeks and onions, of which I'm going to make some leek potato and onion soup. Thank you, Sanchez, for that suggestion last night as we were messaging. That's right. Sometimes us gal pals have to chat. Anyway, let me back up a little bit here. So I think I mentioned in the last episode how I had joined the little online thing called Nextdoor, because like I mentioned, all the cars that get stolen in the neighborhood. Well, there was also a posting for the chance to join a local community garden that happens at a deliberate community that is in my neighborhood. And a deliberate community is, well, I'll explain how this one works. This couple brought this property. It used to be this old rundown two-floor apartment building that kind of looks like what old 50s and 60s hotel motels used to look like. It's pretty groovy. It's got that like mid-century modern look to it, as opposed to mid-century beef curtains, i.e. my vagina. So the building was dilapidated and stuff, and so they were able to buy it, and they're all one-bedroom apartments. There's about 60 people, I think, that live there. It's, you know, you live there as a community. Each person has their own private apartment, but there's also a community room, and where there's a kitchen, and like the community room has like sofas and like futon sofas, and that's part of also where the huge community kitchen is and stuff. And they've got board games, and it's where they have like their community meetings or just like hang out social times and stuff. I think there's like a joint computer there and whatever. So it's, you know, like you see like fancy gross condos and like, oh, well, we have like our, you know, like we have our social lounge with our martinis. Well, this is like the cool, mellow eco village version of that, I guess. You know, like there's certain rules that you've got to abide by, I'm sure, living there, which of course, considering the issues I've had with the neighbors, I would probably really welcome rules. But anyway, so on there, they have a lot of land there that each person that lives there gets to have their own individual garden, but then there's also a big group community garden, and they open that up to people in the neighborhood. Who, like, you pay, like, in my case, I'm paying $40, which will be so worth it, because I already am getting free food every time I'm there. Sorry, I'm scattered. So you pay, and then you have to go there and be part of 16 work parties, which I'm skipping. Like I said, I'm scattered this morning because I'm so excited. Oh, my God. I hung out with people like 5 hours yesterday. I was outside for 5 hours. So, like I said, there was a posting for it on the Nextdoor website, and I knew about this deliberate community or planned community, whatever, because I walk past it if I go to the Trader Joe's or the Starbucks, and other errands in my neighborhood and stuff. And I've always admired the gardens. It's really like fun watching it like change over the season, because it's like vegetable gardens, but then there's this huge, beautiful like flower garden in the front, and like, 15-foot tall sunflowers, and they have a little cob bench there, and there's always like a different rotating poem that's posted there on the community board. It's what people think of when they think hippy dippy. And in a way, it is in a back to the land kind of way. But thankfully, I saw no white people with dreads, and I heard no Grateful Dead music. So, we're cool on that front. So I responded to the posting about it, and it turned out in It's a Small World After All. Now we're going to have that song stuck in our heads. After all, it's a small world. After all, it's a small world. After all. Everybody now. Okay, so the woman who runs the program works at the same local kind of private, it's a private school, where one of my friends used to work, and my friend was the landscape gardener there, and like they grew vegetables there, and they had this whole like horticultural program there teaching little kids like how to grow your own food and what sharing means and all that kind of stuff. And my friend spearheaded that program. Like, it was so successful that it became a model for other schools in the city and in the country. There was specialty magazines about it, yada yada. And so the woman who runs the gardening program where I'm working, or not working, but gardening, she was on the administrative staff at the school where my friend used to work. And my friend moved back to the East Coast. And it was kind of nice because, I've heard my friend talk about issues with, how the school has changed over the years, for the past, 12 or 14 years or whatever that she's been around it. And this woman is newer to the school and much newer to Portland, and she kind of came on board, as my friend was leaving, and she's really hated seeing the changes. So it was kind of interesting, she suddenly realized, oh, here's somebody I can bitch to about my job who actually knows exactly what I'm talking about. And that was kind of like a weird instant bonding kind of thing. Like I said, I know I'm all over the place here. So let me back up a little bit. So yesterday was the first day of the where you meet up and garden from 9 to noon, and then there's a community meal afterwards. People that live there, it rotates who cooks the community meal during the gardening time, so after I showed up there, and there was a sit-down meeting where everybody introduces themselves, and I didn't panic and feel overwhelmed by suddenly meeting a whole bunch of new people at one time. That was very exciting for me. And of course, yes, there are people with names like Fig. Get over it. All right? Get over it. This is Portland. I've known somebody named Lycan before. Okay? Yeah, he used to sleep in the field. That's now a mixed-use building, as they like to say here. Anyway, so there was a meeting where explains who's doing what, and there's a handout of what the harvest schedule is. I have a harvest schedule. I have a harvest schedule, motherfuckers. You have no idea how happy this makes me. Oh my God, I get to grow things. Oh my God, dirt. I love dirt. So you go over that, and you meet the team leaders, and each team has its own name. Our team was was unnamed at the time. I don't know if it's had one since then because I got late to lunch, which maybe I'll circle back to. But I did make the suggestion of calling our team the Boss Beats. You know, get it? Beats. Because we're going to be growing beets. I'm going to be growing beets and peeing red. I can't wait. Oh my God, my life is so complete. Wendy gave me a tour of the property and everything. Oh, and I should say, like, right off of the community room and the kitchen is this beautiful stone patio that's just like it's all open sky. There's no trees there because it's all garden. It's all like, you know, like mini farmland, basically. So it's like all for like pure sun exposure. But the way there's like elevations and stuff when you're sitting up on the patio out of the kitchen and community space, like you look over the whole circular garden, which is broken up into wedges. And so like in each wedge has like different kind of stuff that you're growing there, or like what we did yesterday. I popped out the perennial spinach from one bed, and then so that way it could be raked over and it's going to be replanted. There's a whole compost scenario involved with that, though, which I'll get to. We'll get to compost, I'm sure. And that's what, like, the land around it just, I don't know. Like, I like elevations and variety of paths, and like it's all colors and textures. So when you walk around, like you see each person's like individual garden that they have there, and like different ways that they've personalized it. You know, different, like this one woman borders hers with like all natural white stone, which is really pretty. And other people have like birdhouses, and it's all like very charming and quaint and. How Portland used to be a lot more of, and it's the kind of Portland that's being wiped out. So it's really nice to be involved in it while it's here. Again, I know I'm all over the place here. So there's the individual beds, and then I was shown where I guess you'd call it the poopatorium. The humidorium, I don't know what they had some, it's where they compost human shit. I forget what kind of, you know, fancy name they tried to polish that turd with, literally. I hate that word. I'm not even going to say it, the word again that I hate so much. I think we can all guess what it is. Everybody knows the bird is the word. Rhymes with that. Thank you. So, there's an area where they do compost human shit. It's not a requirement, I'm sure. I did use a toilet there that fully flushed. So it's not a requirement that you recycle your own shit. Different strokes for different folks, people, okay? Free to be you and me. Mary Tyler Moore's dead, but we still have Marlo Thomas. So she showed me that. And then she also showed me the pee bucket, which isn't really a pee bucket, but like, you know how outhouses are called honey buckets? They just call this one the pee bucket because, like, why bullshit? When, you know, who's got time to bullshit? It's not honey, it's pee. And so it's like your basic outhouse that has toilet paper, which I think she wanted to make sure that I was aware that, like, so they do use toilet paper there. And then wood chips that you put over top of, you know, whatever you drop there in the pee bucket, if you don't want to take your, you know, grubby boots off and go inside to pee. And then there's the whole area where everybody like hangs their bikes and where all the tools are kept, like this whole big like community, you know, space for all of that. And then there's this whole row of fruit trees, which of course like aren't doing anything right now. They just look spindly, but they're going to be fruit trees. And there's bee houses along there, which is super, I have mixed feelings about being around bee houses. I know theoretically, like, you're totally cool around them. But theoretically, so much of the world should have been so much safer for me than it ever has been. So, you know, I've been stung a lot. Let's just say that. I was stung last summer by the fucking hornet on my ankle just walking down the goddamn sidewalk. I digress. So there's that. Oh, and then there's the regular compost area, which I became very familiar with. after I hosed off onions and leeks. That was one of my first I pulled spinach, which was kind of like pulling some slimy slugs in some ways, because it was just, we've had so much snow and ice and rain and everything that everything was just big gloppy messes that we were dealing with yesterday. Thank goodness for Doc Martin boots, motherfuckers. Those are industrial strength, waterproof. Oh, so beautiful. So after pulling spinach and then rinsing off onions and leeks, then I pitched in and helped with the compost, just because I knew it was something that I couldn't screw up. Like, I was nervous about joining in with the raking and turning of the land and being out. Sometimes with my anxiety, wide open spaces can be really overwhelming. And obviously the garden is a huge wide open space. So after I got done pulling the spinach there, I think the only other things would be raking dirt and setting up the beds and stuff, which I just don't have experience with. And I just felt too nervous to do. So, you know, I can only do so many new things at one time. It was pretty overwhelming. It was super awesome, but I'm not going to lie. It's pretty overwhelming. And for some stupid reason, I should have gone and done seedlings with the ladies, because it would have been with the ladies, and it's something that I don't know how to do or haven't done since, like, fucking elementary school. And, like, it's such a no-brainer thing that I should have gone to do that. But for some reason, I think it's because it was also, like, right by where I had been rinsing the onions and the leeks, and the guy doing the composting was the same guy that, had been pulling spinach with me and stuff. So, like, I already kind of had a rapport, and it was in a more tree, I don't know. It just, and I wanted, like, the physical workout too, of dumping buckets and rinsing buckets. And I like looking at decayed food. I never thought I liked looking at decayed food, but again, colors and textures. I ended up dumping buckets of compost. And, you know, it's kind of like you learn a lot about people looking at their compost, I guess you could say. There was one bucket that was really heavy and because they had let water get into it. And so we couldn't really tell if what was mixed in was cat litter or quinoa. Like, that was my guess. Is this cat litter or quinoa? That's right. There's a little compost humor there. There's so little compost humor. Oh, one of the other things about the garden that I forgot and about the original property is there had been a swimming pool originally. How many times can I say original and originally? But it was filled in forever and ever and ever ago and done. It's like landscaped up in layers and stuff. So there's like a support wall that's going to have all sorts of herbs like dill, cilantro, and I forget what other stuff is going to be planted there. And Wendy was like, yeah, now, like, here's where the gate is. You know where we are. You know who we are. So whenever you are cooking dinner and you want to walk over and grab some fresh herbs, feel free to. Because they all know that I live just, like, a couple of blocks away, which is, let's just say that's part of the awesomeness that I mentioned that I live just like a few blocks away. Like, it's about, I don't know, like a 10-minute walk each way, which is nice exercise and nice wakey time. So yeah, I've got, like, oh my God, food. Fresh food and vegetables that I don't have to go to a food bank or a grocery store for. Oh my God, I'm going to be growing my own broccoli. I'm going to be growing broccoli, beets, onions. I don't even know what else. There's just too much. You know, I'm so excited about this that I decided to go ahead and pull out my list. Oh, this is actually back from 2015. I don't know. I think sometimes people forget to update dates. So here's some of the different things that I am going to be helping in growing, everybody. I'm going to be growing beets. That's right, boss beets. I'm going to grow leeks. My apartment stinks of leeks. And green onions, which I also already have some of. Collards. Let's see, what else? Cilantro, flowers, peas, cabbage, kale, chard. Oh my God, if I can grow lacinato kale, I'll be so fucking excited. That shit is so expensive. Oh, I'm excited. Sorry. Early spring greens, spinach or orange? I don't know what the fuck that is. I don't know what Brussels rab is either. I guess it's a different version of a Brussels sprout. I don't know. Cauliflower, turnips, peas, boo. Perpetual spinach, yay. Parsley, ooh, potatoes from True Potato Seed. Ooh, that's what we're going to be planting in March, everybody. I know, I shouldn't be telling you ahead of time what we're doing because I have a feeling I'm going to bore the crap out of you guys with this. Cabbage, amaranth, I don't know what the fuck that is. Veggie mallow, I don't know what that is either. Pea shoots, carrots, which I don't know if I already mentioned that. There's also hill-up potatoes and pot-up potatoes. We're going to have a variety of potatoes, apparently. More variety than I was aware of. Ooh, and cucumbers and squash. Super excited about that. And, of course, tomatoes and peppers and red onions and Brussels sprouts. And there's going to be multiple times a month that I'm going to be going over there to garden, and then it all culminates at the end of November, what the white man calls Thanksgiving. It'll be a harvest party. It'll be like the final fall harvest and the final cleanup and all of that. So it'll actually be much more like what that season is, you know, aside from the bullshit holiday aspect of it. And that's going to be nice with a whole bunch of people. Like, holy crap, how many people were there yesterday? 12? 15? For me, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. And of course, whenever there's people, there's shit talk to be had. And so that's right, let's get right down to it. Let's talk some shit. Come on, what did you think? Did you really think that I was just going to be like, hey, I'm gardening now, kumbaya, everything's wonderful, I love the world, blah, 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 blah. I mean, you know, I kind of do. There is a part of me that is kind of that way. But we also know how jaded I am. We also know how suspicious I am of the white man. Listen to me talking about the white man so much. Like it wasn't hard enough for me not to in the past, but now, well, I think we all, I guess I should be talking, no, I'm not even going to say that color. I'm not even going to say, all right, orange, 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 orange. So I was the only new person there. I was the only person that responded to the ad that they put on Nextdoor. Because here's the other thing about Portland. There are tons of community gardens, and there are tons of people with homes that have their own gardens. This apartment complex, theoretically, well, it actually does have a community garden in that there's a plot of land that you can garden on right on the other side of the recycle bins and the trash dumpster. And it, everything slopes downhill, like all the filth. And it's just, you wouldn't want to eat anything that comes out of that ground. You just, it's a fucking toxic dump as far as I'm concerned. Stuff grows from there, but it's like, you know, if it was water, there'd be three-eyed fish. So there's not necessarily like a huge... And most people, I think, on Nextdoor probably are, like, homeowners with land. So anyway, okay, blah, blah, blah. But that means that because I was the only outsider, that meant everybody wanted to get to know about me. And, of course, I wanted to get to know about everybody else, which I actually did a good job of asking questions, which is sometimes I'm not so good at that. So in the whole composting situation... all I can do is call him White Boy of Privilege. I don't think I ever got his name. We'll call him Beardo because you guessed it. And he asked, I think the first thing he asked was like what my, you know, like gardening experience or growing crop experience and stuff was. And I explained, you know, how limited it was. You know, and like how really like the most of it I did was as a kid visiting my grandmother in the summers in West Virginia and like tending her garden and beans and corn and all that kind of stuff. And Beardo Beardo, it turns out, is taking a, well, he first he talked about being in school and not being able to like go to school and really work too much as much as he wanted to at the same time or something. And then I asked him what kind of schooling he was like, you know, what he was studying in school. And then it turns out that he's not actually going to college. He's doing some kind of what's called primitive skills training. A couple of guys there are doing primitive skills training because of course they are. It's Portland. It's men who've lived completely cush lives and they're looking for authentic experience, which is awesome. And they're learning skills in the process, which is awesome. But to call them primitive skills is so fucking patronizing. It's like, no, you're learning like what people used to know, but we've been dumbed down. That's what it is. To call it primitive makes it sound, well, you know, primitive. It's kind of sounds, you know, Neanderthal. You know, not cool. So Beardo is taking a primitive skills class, and so I'm talking about, you know, we're talking about our family backgrounds and blah, blah, blah. And I mentioned, you know, my grandmother's garden, like my mom's mom, and I mentioned how my mom grew up, you know, like so poor in West Virginia that squirrel was a regular, you know, sometimes the only meat that they ate. And he just like laughed, and he's like, squirrel, really? And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, oh, I didn't know people really did that. And I should back up a second here. Like, that already kind of sounds like a dick thing. This isn't the first planned community that this dude has lived in. He's also studied forestry. And he also talked about, like, I guess, like, some kind of more impoverished areas that he traveled to in America, like the Badlands, apparently. So he could learn about life beyond his own, you know, white male privilege, as he himself put it. So here he is, like, Mr. I'm trying to be primitive, authentic, rejecting my parents' ideals, because he talked a whole lot about that, too. Like, he wasn't, like his parents won't help him out at all, and he doesn't, he's pissed off that they don't understand why he won't just take some job at Costco. Exactly, Beardo. And so that's the piece of shit that was laughing at the fact that my mom was so poor that she had to eat squirrel. Yeah, Mr. Back to the Land. Yeah. Do I not have the best luck sometimes in the white males across my paths? I really do. So, you know, while Beardo and I were getting to know each other there in the compost pile, he would shovel over the stuff that had been gestating for a while to spread it out among the different cinder block bins that you kind of build and rebuild, and then I would take the tubs and dump it into it and like rake it across and try to discern catnip or quinoa. So he was talking about privilege and like really wanting to learn, you know, because he's only lived in Oregon. He's like from rural Oregon. He sounds like he comes from money. His brothers have, yeah, he's a money guy who's slumming it in a planned community. Okay, I have to like quit being judgy there. So let me just stop with the judginess of him. So when he was talking about privilege and all that, like I had mentioned, like, oh, yeah, I moved out when I was, you know, 17 to, like, inner city D.C., blah, blah, blah. You know, my first college experience was a community college where I knew the other white student. And I was the first white person in a lot of my friends' homes and all this kind of stuff that just completely blew little sheltered Beardo's mind. But I said to him, I said, if you really want to truly understand the privilege that you have, young man, I said, when you walk out your front door, do you ever worry about getting raped? And he just like winced. And he's like, no. And I said, do you really worry that much about your safety at all when you walk out your front door, like anywhere in this city? And he's like, no. And I said, you never have to think about like, what time of day you go somewhere or where you go. And he's like, no. And I said, that, my friend, is a privilege I will never, ever, ever understand. And neither will ever will any woman. So just think, like, right there out the gate, that makes your life so much different than those of us that have to constantly look over our shoulder and deal with comments and behaviors from strangers that you will never experience. Sometimes I think I'm given beardos like this just so I can slap them around like that a little bit, maybe. Maybe educate them. I don't know. I'm full of shit. It's still, it felt good to say that, though. Oh, and the other thing that Beardo talked about was just what a year of, like, what a hardship 2016 was. Like, you know, we both acknowledged that it was a real shit year for the world. And then we mentioned how it was, like, real shit years for each of us. And so I asked him, like, what that meant for him. Because look at me, I can ask questions. Sometimes I can behave like a woman. Sometimes my communication skills can be more bulldozery, bull in a china shop like a guy, but I'm trying. He mentioned that he had a lot of loss, and his first tragic loss was his car broke down. And I just said, oh, I'm 53. I've never had a driver's license because I'm a cunt. Beardo. And then he had to pay for repairs. And then after he paid for repairs, the car got stolen. But then they found the car. So that was his first loss. But to be fair, a grandparent died and his brother was killed in a car accident. His estranged brother that he's estranged from. So those were other losses. But he did not go into the same detail of that as he did about his precious car, Mr. Primitive Skills. I love being a patronizing piece of shit sometimes. And speaking of primitive skills, let's get to another guy who's also embarking on that world. He and I talked after the whole gardening time. Then there's a community lunch and stuff, which of course is vegan and awesome. Oh, like there's a thing called sweet meat, which is a kind of squash. Everybody probably knows that, but me, because I'm, you know, little apartment girl. I had some sweet meat stew, which I actually mixed with this other 15B vegan stew, which I poured over quinoa because it was not cat litter. So anyway, we were out there on the patio talking. What am I going to call this guy? We'll call him Warrior P. So Warrior P, that's not a good name for him at all. I'll call him Amit. So Amit and I were talking, and he mentioned photography or something. And I asked him what he shot with, like what kind of camera, and it's some digital camera. And I asked him, and it's like the kind of question that, like, I always hate when people ask me, but I still have answers for it because I really love taking pictures so much. So I asked him, like, you know, what kind of, you know, what do you usually enjoy shooting? And his response was, whatever will pay me. I'm like, oh, okay. We have very different approaches to photography. Granted, he could have said, I just like taking pictures of my food. And Amit is also in the primitive skills class. So we talked about photography and stuff for a while. He just photographs for money. He said he used to always, like, walk around with the camera and just shoot all the time. And I asked him, like, if he ever did street photography, you know, just like shooting people unposed and stuff on the street. And he said that he did that for a while, you know, but then he stopped because it just felt like, you know, and I was like, oh, like it was crossing boundaries and stuff and, you know, exploitive because like you were selling it. And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, well, like, you know, that's cool. At least you're honest about it. And he said now, like, he doesn't even carry a camera with him at all. And that made me sad because it's like, man, like you've turned something into money so much that now you can't just enjoy it like on your own. Okay, I'm digressing, I know, because I always do when it comes to like commerce and creativity. And then he also said that he would like to do art photography, you know, like for magazines, which is exactly as he said it. And then I'd started talking to him about this idea of like of photographs not taken. Like I had this friend who would write about pictures of people that she didn't take, and they were like really beautiful, like poetic kind of details of the person that she. So you basically saw exactly what she didn't photograph. It was really lovely. And so I mentioned that, and he told me an example that he had of that was, I forget where, I think it was, he might've been back in Israel, and there was this naked girl, like about, you know, like 7 or 8 years old with like a walking stick or a cane or something. And she just like, you know, stood there, like, you know, like in, like on the street, she was like walking along and she just stopped and stood and just like peed straight down, just like. And he just said it was just like she just stood there like a warrior. That's what I was going to call him, Warrior P. And so that was a picture that he obviously didn't take because it would have been like really inappropriate. I mean, you could have, but it's like it's a child. Like you don't want to do that. Although photographers will do that. But he like has codes, which, again, I also really respect. So now I'm done dissing him. And now I'm respecting him. And so then I told him about this thing that this thing... I sound gross. Last week when it was raining and I was catching the MAX train, there was this guy furiously talking on his cell phone, really animated, and he had a bright orange safety vest on, and then tucked under one arm was a giant Elmo head. And it's like, and I just said like, yeah, you know, like I didn't have my camera, but if it hadn't been raining, I would have pulled out my phone and taken a picture with my phone. And Amit was like, oh, with your phone. See, now I'm back to hating him again. And I understand that kind of dismissive comment, but because I've been kind of cunty like that. But when I've already shared with you the fact that I still shoot with film cameras that aren't even manufactured anymore, and you're sitting there scrolling through your phone during the meal and you don't carry your camera around anymore because it, not unless you can make money with it, then don't be patronizing with me because I would have pulled out my phone because I didn't have my camera with me. Like, you know, you can fuck off there. It's okay to take pictures with your phone. I think it sucks to do it exclusively, but that's just me because I'm super into photography. But I do like the fact that it's getting people to express themselves, maybe that never did before, even if they're just with stupid dog face apps. Again, I digress. And I know you're thinking, gee, didn't you like anybody there, Rose? You're such a cunt. I was really happy to see that British Neil is there. And I call him British Neil because, yes, his name is Neil. Yes, he is British. But also because there's this stupid 70s, there was this stupid 70s like arena rock, or they wanted to be arena rock, but they just opened for other arena rock headliners. This really shitty generic rock band called British Steel. And British Neil is the complete antithesis of that. He has about 10 hoops in one ear. He's older than I am. He's got British teeth, the ones that he still has. He is an old ass crusty punk who's super awesome. He used to live in New York back in the early 80s. He knows another friend of mine here who he actually like put out his record, and actually knew British Neil. I didn't know him, but I was acquainted with him back in 2002 when I volunteered at a local food co-op. That's right. I guess I do. I'm a hippie. And Neil worked there. And so, you know, it's like, oh, like, look, all these years later. And I instantly said, like, oh, like, I volunteered at People's. I'm sure you get that all the time because it's a kind of a popular thing to do here in Portland, or has been in the past. And I also mentioned the mutual friend that we had in common. And then, you know, he's like, oh. And so later Neil was also there at lunch, me, Beardo, Amit, and Neil. And oh, that's the other thing that Beardo annoyed me with. So Neil and I were talking because he wanted to know, like, how I knew this mutual friend. And Neil assumed it was because I was part of the same, like, you know, Portland punk scene. And I explained that I was, like, you know, from D.C. and stuff. So he knew Wilson Center and same bands. And, you know, we kind of just like I said to him, I said, we're of the same tribe. Like, we're going to finish each other's sentences in terms of, like, bands we've seen and places we've been. And he's like, ah, cool. And I said, yeah, exactly. So, he's one of the good ones. He's one of the good ones. He is a real live off the land kind of guy. He's the kind of guy that got into punk music for the political and free spirit, independent mindedness of it, and not just the, like, mosh pit machismo of it. Neil is just the fucking coolest. So Neil and I were, like, you know, yammering, like, as if we had known each other forever. And I forget, like, what the word was, but Beardo kept not understanding what he was saying. And so Neil, like, kept, like, repeating it. And then Beardo was like, oh, it's your accent. That's why I didn't understand. And here's the thing about Beardos of the world. I don't think they realize how condescending that sounds. It's your accent. It's like, no. It's the fact that you, Beardo, couldn't understand him. So the polite thing to say was, oh, I'm sorry, my ears were slow. Or just, you make any excuse for the fact that it's you, because it is you. Neil doesn't have an accent to Neil. Neil's accent, if you've ever seen a British movie, you know exactly how he's pronouncing vowels and what that means. So that's another reason why I fucking hated Beardo. Hate is a strong word. It's going to be an interesting season of growth, isn't it? Sure, literally and figuratively. And there's awesome people. Fig, I really, really enjoyed her. She asked about the book club, because that's, like I said, that's what was kind of weird about the experience for me. I mean, partly just the fact that I have not hung out with more than two people at one time in years. I guess maybe a Thanksgiving dinner a couple of years ago. And, you know, one of the things that I'm really working on and have to constantly, like, be deliberately working on, especially because I'm so isolated, are my social skills, just on top of the fact of my social skills. So it's like a double whammy of my own ineptitude that I'm constantly really trying to focus on and work on without seeming like a robot. Hello. And so I was being asked a lot of questions, and so I just kept feeling like, I'm talking too much. So I did such a good job of, like, trying to turn the same question back on to another person, you know, although I failed to do that with Fig when she asked about my book clubs and stuff. To ask what she liked to read. But I did tell her how she could find out about the library book clubs that I was going to and really into that she seemed interested. So it was two-sided. I'm going to still call that a two-sided exchange, not a monologue. I so fear the monologue. And Camilla, who's super awesome. She and I talked about disability and Medicaid and Medicare and all that kind of like weird, boring stuff that I don't really have anybody else to talk to about it, which is kind of cool. And that's kind of, and then there's this other guy, George, who like he, when I was like shoveling the, like doing the compost and stuff, which isn't exactly the kind of stuff that I think most people would choose to do on their first day there. So George came over and he's like, you're hired. You don't even need to fill out an application. Like he's like kind of like a grandpa. There's like a few grandpa hippies there. So adorable. And I don't know, we were just talking about, you know, like, oh, like this is good exercise and or whatever. And I said, yeah, like, you know, boy, during that campaign, you know, during the whole campaign election season, I managed to shove back in that 24 pounds I lost just like, you know, eating the fear away. And he's like, oh, I think we all did some of that. Boy, I'll tell you, I put on at least 5 pounds. And, you know, here's the thing that I've really learned in my efforts to improve as a human being. And I know I've talked about it before, but it's just like, just being like honest about shit like that. Cause man, that just makes other people like honest and like comfortable right away. And it's just, and of course it's like easier said than done. And it really depends on the environment that you're in. And that's what made me so happy just my first day doing the gardening yesterday. Everybody there was like so welcoming and so nice. My crew leader is a guy named Nathan, and I told him as well as a beardo guy, and pretty much like everybody else, but especially because they were younger and I'm older, and I know sometimes that can be a weird dynamic. So I just told them both, like, guys, like, I don't, like, this is, I'm totally new here. I'm here to learn. I'm here to be corrected. I have absolutely no ego when it comes to learning, because it has nothing to do with me personally. It has to do with the skill. So don't worry about over-explaining or mansplaining or, and they both kind of laughed because like that's such a hot topic. I said, you don't have to worry about that with me. If I understand, I'll let you know, like, cool, got it. But other than that, feel free to like err on the side of what I don't know, which I told to Wendy and like other people too. I said, because I don't even know what I don't know. And Nathan was like, awesome. And he's like, sometimes I can really repeat myself and can get stuck in a groove. And it's helpful if you interrupt me and let me know, okay, I got it. And I'm like, and I just thought to myself, like, oh my God, if my ex could have ever said that at any time that we were together near the beginning, that would have made the relationship so much different. I'll just say that right there. You know, and the other thing to keep in mind about a planned community is there is the whole kumbaya aspect of it, of like, oh, we have a community space, we have a joint space where we can all come together and do things as a group in a meaningful way, whether that's entertainment or gardening or sharing a meal or having a meeting to discuss whatever is interesting to you. You have that. But they're, you know, like I said, they're all one bedroom apartments. I think there is like a mother and son in one of them, but they're small apartments. So everybody there, you know, in a lot of other ways, they're real loners, because otherwise they'd be living in a group house if they wanted to actually share space with somebody. And so everybody, it's definitely a place full of people like me, where of very pronounced quirks, like as pronounced as my quirks are, or as pronounced as British Neil's accent is, I guess. It's just so nice and so open and so friendly. And like, even when I was like, you know, when I was like wrapping up, like it was meal time, and like poor Nathan, like I kind of realized now, like, oh, he was like really trying to get us going and we were like stalling. as I was leaving Beardo, finishing up the last of the composting, I was like, are you sure it's okay? Like, I'd finished rinsing the buckets and, like, doing my part of it. And I was like, are you sure if it's okay if I go? Like, I don't want you to feel like I'm bailing on you or anything. And he goes, oh, no, that's how we are here. You come and go as you please. Like, you don't worry about that at all. And I'm like, my God, I can't think of a work or volunteer experience where I've ever had that much freedom, because they automatically understand that I'm going to try real hard and that I respect the process and stuff, which I know that sounds like a weird thing to say, but I can't really explain it any better than that. Sorry. Who cares? We grow. And I gotta say, like, I stayed there a long, like, I was actually there for 5 hours, just because Beardo and I were, like, an hour late for lunch, because I wasn't looking at my watch buried under my Playtex gloves. Let me tell you that for a second, like, you care. But I was really nervous because I was like, oh, shit, I thought I had gardening gloves. I must have thrown them out because they were so gross last year and then haven't got new ones yet because it's not spring and I didn't know that I was going to suddenly be doing this. But I found some Playtex rubber gloves that I had. And thank goodness, because I was the only one there with rubber gloves. And so everybody loved the fact that I had them and could do all the rinsing of the onions and the leeks, because everybody else's hands were getting cold and freezing wet, whereas mine were waterproof. And of course, I forgot and left my gloves there. And I'm going to have to get some more, but that's okay. But after... this isn't a sigh of exasperation, sorry. Yesterday, for the first time, it feels like since I've moved back here, and who knows, maybe I've said this before in another episode, and maybe this just means that I'm feeling it more and more, and that's fine. But it really feels like I'm back in the Portland that I missed so fucking much when I was back on the East Coast. And it's the kind of Portland that I've been looking for since moving back. It's the kind of Portland that so much of it, like you've heard me bitch all the time about the places that have been torn down and replaced by dentist office looking houses and all that kind of garbage. It's like, When I was talking with Wendy yesterday, and she's new, her and her, as far as I can tell from Google stalking her before I went to the thing yesterday, because of course, why wouldn't I do that? Yeah, it looks like she and her husband just moved here a few years ago from Minnesota, and they to get away from those winters for one thing, and because Portland had that cool ass reputation, and you can tell that she and her husband thought that, because when you look at the blog. Like, I don't know, her husband is wearing green canvas sneakers, and the caption is, like, getting that Portland vibe. It's like, no, those are green canvas sneakers. That has nothing to do with any city that you live in. Those are shoes. You know, and lots of pictures of when they would go out to eat and stuff. And then she quickly learned, apparently, that Portland pays a lot less, or at least her job pays a lot less than they were making elsewhere. And so that's how they ended up, you know, as a couple living in a one-bedroom apartment that apparently doesn't cost that much less than my two-bedroom apartment. So I was, you know, talking to her about the changes and stuff, and I said, especially how it's impacted our mutual friend who's moved away for a while. And I just said, like, yeah, you know, Portland used to be a city of people, and now it's a city of rich people. And you know, Portland was a place where you could get away from, like, just the plethora of yuppies that I had always been surrounded by in D.C. and then in the Bay Area and in Virginia and just, like, everywhere. It's like, ah, great, Portland is, like, where you can just, like, let your shoulders drop. You can relax and be as crusty or weird or as whatever as you want to be, because whatever wage you're earning, you can still afford a place to live and yada, yada, yada. Anyway, So this felt like old Portland to me, and it reminded me of like when I used to hang out at the Activist Cafe. And it's interesting doing that with all this time that's passed and experience that I've had between when I was around, I don't know how to explain it. Maybe I'll say conscientious crowd. How about that? Conscientious. They're trying to live deliberate lives. Okay, I have to say, I have to shit talk Beardo again for a second. Because this is part of the process, people. So everybody kept asking me, like, what do I do for a living? And I kept having to say, like, oh, I'm on disability. And I'm usually pretty straightforward about it. And I was, you know, pretty straightforward it, you know, about it. You know, with Beardo, it's like, yep, I'm on disability for depression and PTSD. And Beardo's response was that while he has never been diagnosed with depression, he is really struggling to find a purpose in life. Like, those are different things. White boy of privilege. Oh my God. You know, I don't know if some people ever really do learn. Oh, that's another episode. But that is the big difference now and when I lived here before, is that, like, I've had the Beardo conversation, I've had the Beardo experience, and so now for the next garden party, I will not be having the Beardo experience again, because it's like, well, I know exactly how that person works. Whereas before, I would kind of like revisit the problem, shall we say, as if that's going to change it, when really there's no reason for me to change anything about anybody else, at least. You know, and I'm, sorry, my throat's all gross right now. And I'm more jaded now too. Like I've heard everybody say like, oh, imagine if people just weren't so greedy, and I've had every single political conversation ever for my entire fucking life. I never need to have that again. And so that's what's nice about the fact that there are olds there, because the olds, like British Neil, you know, they're just talking about their life and getting through the day and what they want to do and blah, blah, blah. They're not sticking their head in the sand. In fact, Beardo says he avoids the news as much as possible. I love when people say bullshit like that. Because it's not bullshit. Like, they seriously mean that. But it's bullshit that they do that. It's like, well, then you can't fucking have an opinion if you're not keeping yourself educated. You're just being as ignorant as a fucking racist redneck who refuses to read a book. Who refuses to read one black writer. Like, that's how fucking ignorant you are if you're saying, I try to avoid the news. But the olds aren't buried in it either. You know, they're like, it's like the elders. It's kind of cool. What am I saying here? I don't know. As usual, I am petering out, and I'm so sorry. I really didn't even intend to talk this long. You're going to hear all about them later. I don't know why I felt like I had to put it all in one episode. But just that it's super exciting that I have a harvest schedule. Like, the only other schedule kind of things that I've had since being on disability. It's so weird. I know it shouldn't be weird anymore. It's getting less weird. You know, like, I had therapy once a week, and then, you know, now I do book clubs like once a month or so. But now this is something else that I'm adding into the mix. Although, okay, therapy is still out of the mix because I still don't have the insurance coverage that I need for therapy. Hoo-yah. Which is, shall I also talk again? Why am I saying again? Because I don't think I said before. This is such fucking perfect timing too. Like, in terms of what a shitstorm the world is in right now, specifically America. Not that other countries don't have their shitstorms, but I'm feeling the orange menace myself. And then the fact that my therapist was yanked out from under me, which was kind of like the main social structure that I had. Like, I did say that before. I don't know why that's so important to say. But so I have that like a real social structure. Because like I said, Wendy was like, yeah, whenever you want to just like swing by and pick herbs, or if you see anybody hanging out, if you just like want to walk through the gardens, you know, or do whatever. And I made it like very, you know, I was, very open with them. Like, hey, like since I don't work and I live just a few blocks away, like Friday when the compost controversy, when the compost is delivered, if you need extra hands, I can be there to help. Like, you know, because I'm part of their community meetings now. Like, I'm on their community. There's a community Google group that I am now a part of where we will be communicating to each other. And they even showed me the table where the community members leave, like, you know, like, oh, here's spices we're not using anymore, or excess from our own gardens that we don't need. And she's like, yeah, whenever you're here, if you see anything there that you want to take home, feel free. It's like, even though I don't live there, they're already treating me like that, which I think is probably how a lot of people do end up living there. You know, I'm sure there's turnover. Not everybody wants to stay living in a planned community in a small one-bedroom apartment forever. And I don't want to do it right now. But as rents change and I age and the world falls further into the apocalypse, it's good to get my foot in the door to as many options as I can. Because even if I don't want to live there, it's so fucking awesome. It's probably even more awesome that I'm not living there and that I get to fucking grow food. I get to grow food that I'm going to eat and that other people are going to eat. And I get to learn more about other people, which means learning about myself a little bit more too. And I get to have something positive to look forward to that's not damaging in any way whatsoever, and it's going to impact my at-home eating habits. Did I mention, hey, I'll end with this note. Okay, this is actually something that me and Grandpa George talked about, or that I mentioned to Grandpa George. So you know how, like, back in the 40s and 50s, you know, like, people would have candy, or even 60s and 70s, because I certainly know that. Let me apologize for all the starts and stops. I'm coughing a lot today. Oh, the compost. You know, people used to have like candy dishes on their living room tables. Like, that just was a normal thing. And what I've done is I had these two beautiful interlocking vintage dishes. One's mint green and one's pink. And maybe I'll take a picture of it like a nerd, or not a nerd, just like a self-centered bitch. And I have put them on my coffee table, and that is where I have my apples and my oranges and my bananas. I have fruit in my face right here, my living room table, when I'm sitting down to watch TV. There it is. There's fruit. There's no candy. There's no chips. There's just fruit. And that's the thing. One step leads to another, and they all kind of get in line. And then if you throw the right music in, you get a little dance. And that's where I'm going to leave it for now, doing a little dance. Because everything's coming up, turnips full.